Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh, it may make you cry, it may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
What's going on, all you crazy ghost enthusiasts out there? This is Ghost Joe of the Ghost Hacks Podcast. Welcome to Ghost Hacks Episode 16. We have an awesome show for you tonight. A great interview with our two friends, Bill and Nathan from the Phantom Galaxy Podcast. Unfortunately, Tom was unable to make this little intro here with me today. He is off having animal reassignment surgery. The next episode, he will be coming back as a duck. So don't make it weird. And just be like, hey, Tom, nice webbed feet and stuff. I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding. Who the hell would want to come back as a duck? But seriously, guys, I know we've been gone for quite some time now. So you deserve a little bit of an explanation. So here it goes. My buddy Mikey had found a treasure map in a picture frame in his house that led to a buried treasure somewhere. So me and a few of my friends went on an adventure looking for this treasure. You don't need to hear the whole story. I mean, there was a pirate ship and a one-eyed pirate skeleton guy, a big weird-looking dude with a heart of gold and some bad guys. And all you need to know is that, luckily, Data had hidden a lot of his gems in a little pouch. And we did not have to sell all of our houses to the bank. Thank goodness for all of that. Also, in case you guys didn't know, I am a huge virtual reality enthusiast. I had the Oculus Quest 1, and now I have the Oculus Quest 2. One of my favorite apps is called AltSpace VR. It's a free social app in virtual reality, and it's pretty awesome. You could actually get it on your computer as well, too, so you could check that out on your own. But I have been running paranormal shows on there as well, in my own little space that I had made for me. It's called Paranormal Talk with Ghost Joe. So if you're on that format and you'd like to come, it's basically a open forum type show where I just let everybody else talk and tell their experiences, and sometimes I'll tell mine as well. But it's a fun time. Everybody seems to enjoy it. And I had a big turnout at the last show. So, and people seem to get a good feeling out of it because they feel like they're not alone telling their stories. Because the way I see it, guys, is people could not believe you about what you're saying, but who cares? If you feel that what you experienced was the real thing, then it was the real thing. And that's good enough for me. So if you have a paranormal experience that you want to share, remember, paranormal could mean ghosts, aliens, UFOs, cryptids like Bigfoot and Dogman and the Rake and all that stuff, or even a near-death experience or anything like that that you would like to share. Please give us a call at 845-379-1331. Also, check out our website at www.ghosthackspodcast.com. So without further ado, let's get into this interview with Bill and Nathan from the Phantom Galaxy Podcast. So you guys have the Phantom Galaxy Podcast, and what's the actual subject matter of the podcast? What do you guys talk about?
Good question. How do you answer that, Nathan?
On which episode? Originally, I started the podcast as like a kind of a catch-all for science fiction, fantasy, and horror, but really it was, I'm kind of a movie guy. At the time, I was a film critic, and I like to talk about that, but I love reading. I also love the paranormal stuff and things like that. And, you know, it was just like, how do we do a catch-all for everything? What kind of title can I pick that if the horror guy sees it, they're going to want to come check it out? If the paranormal guy sees it, they're going to, or gal sees it, they're going to come check it out. And so it was really just a way to have some flexibility to kind of talk about the different things, particularly genre, though, you know, again, the science fiction, the fantasy, the horror. And even at one point, I'd started to venture out a couple of years ago, and with a buddy of mine had done it was called Casting the Bones. We haven't quite gone back to it, but it was essentially sort of what your show is like, where it was intended to look at, talk about the paranormal and talk about the supernatural. And I was a big fan growing up of Coast to Coast when Art Bell handled it. And it was kind of sad when Bell passed a few years ago. In fact, I think the second episode of our Casting the Bones, the second and last episode was right around the time that Bell passed. And so, but I'll listen to things like Monsters Among Us with the kids and stuff like that. We get into that a lot. And I love that your show came along just recently is in that same sort of vein and flavor. So
yeah,
we're digging in a lot.
We were told recently that our show isn't scary enough.
For who? For like, who?
That's really not where we're going.
Well, just wait until like a disembodied corpse walks up behind me sometime during this podcast. I'll ring the bell. My kids come in without a head or something.
Why, you with my ex-wife?
And see, that's just going right in. That's not even editing or nothing. That's going straight into the show.
Shots fired.
Well, yeah, no, I actually, that's kind of where I was too with, you know, to give it a little shout out. Monsters Among Us was the first real podcast I was listening to. And I'm like, you know what? I said, this is really cool. I think I want to kind of do something like this because I could talk about the paranormal for a while. Ours is a little bit of a different format than theirs because they basically rely on people calling in and experiences I love. Yeah. Ours is a little bit more of us just bullshitting and saying, ah, no, this is, these people are full of crap, or this seems pretty legit.
He's too polite for most of that over a Monsters Among Us. He always kind of tries to give the benefit of the doubt.
And actually, Joseph, when you do this, it's probably easier if we do it off the cuff. So then you have no idea what's coming out of our mouth.
It's going to happen like that anyway. I mean, yeah,
that's true.
We plan things, Bill, and they're still like, what the hell is that episode about?
That's right.
So how long have you guys been doing the podcast? How many episodes do you guys have?
Well, what have we been doing it since August?
So, yeah. So technically, there's 100 some episodes of the Phantom Galaxy, but that's, I did it for several years till 2018 and then kind of got out of podcasting and the film criticism. Part of it was the toxicity of the internet, and part of it was just having young kids and being busy all the time. And then sort of when COVID happened, kind of getting back into just recognizing, hey, there's some pockets of the internet that are pretty nice, you know, Land of the Creeps and things like that. And they had invited me on, did an episode. And it's funny, I was just recounting this with Dave Becker. It's like the day after we did the Stuart Gordon podcast. It was funny because Greg had talked to me a little bit and David talked to me a little bit. And I'm like, this other guy, Bill, I don't know if he likes me or not. He even talked to me and we did the episode. And the next day, Bill pops up and he's like, so I see your podcast. You have a podcast. You haven't put anything since 2018. And then later in the day, you going to put anything new up anytime soon? And so then I'm like, man, I feel like maybe I should do this. And Bill's like, well, if you ever want someone to come on. And I said, well, would you like to be a co-host? And Bill's like, oh, no, I'm way too busy for that. And then, you know, then he came on the podcast and then he came on the podcast again. And so Bill, sort of by sheer force of being the wonderful, nice Canadian human being he is, sort of just resurrected it from nothing. So we've been going since what, June now, Bill? And
I don't know. You're the tracker.
The tracker, yes, since about June.
I am not on every episode because occasionally they do topics that I know nothing about.
But it's only because you're also on six other podcasts, like making the rounds. Yeah. Bill is like our traveling, like he's a have microphone will travel. You know, he's the radio paladin.
I have a spreadsheet actually on my desktop at upstairs of all the various ones I've been on in case somebody ever asked.
So yeah, we've been doing it since the summer and we've done quite a few episodes. We have a lot of spinoff episodes. 5 minutes before I was recording this with you, Dave Becker and I were doing the Illustrated Fan, which is an animated podcast.
They do animated movies and anime.
Yeah. Kind of everything within that animated circle. And Bill's got one coming up that Bill will be the primary like host of. It's going to be Strange Frequencies, where he's going to talk usually like an album or different pieces of music, heavy metal included, and then usually paired with a film. And so our first one, Bill, if you want to tell him what it is.
Yeah, our first one, if I turn my computer.
There you go.
We did 2112. So we did 2112 with
The Devil's Candy.
Devil's Candy.
Horror film.
So we're pairing, it's usually a theme based on a song or an album or a series of songs with an ancillary heavy horror film or sci-fi film or action film that makes a nice pairing together.
Cool. So you said that you're on quite a few podcasts and you guys, is podcasting you guys full-time jobs? I know, Bill, I know what you do, but...
Well, funny you should ask. I think Nathan had a transition today.
Well, it's a process, and that's not common knowledge yet. No, I'm actually, I have a day job. I am an instructional designer. I'm not teaching children, but I'm working with adults and teaching them and create kind of a training design. I also do producing work, like with video on demand and stuff like that, as part of the job. So kind of doing that too also sort of got me back interested in, being able to kind of put stuff together and edit and stuff like that. So yeah, then with kids and everything, it's funny because it's really trying to find the time to do the podcasting stuff. And then you end up with 5-hour episode you have to edit later on. So
we had one of them recently. Joe was editing for days. Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty of being a co-host on YouTube, editing none.
Yeah, that's what he's managed to do. That's the thing with Bill, is like he's everywhere, and then he just like floats off to the next.
Off do I go.
Yes, yeah.
Here you go. Put the kid to bed, whatever, you know.
So with the Phantom Galaxy podcast, I mean, I know how to find you guys, but how do we find you? Obviously on all the major podcasting platforms, but do you guys have a website?
You look in the mirror and say Phantom Galaxy 3 times and flick of the lights.
That's don't how you do fall it. For that. I did that last week. I wound up in a dumpster in Connecticut.
Didn't work.
He ended up in a time
with
loop
a note that said somewhere. Thanks for the kidney, right? No, you can find us at Phantom Galaxy at podbean.com. We're in the process of setting up and because this isn't my full-time job, it has been a continual process, but I'm getting a website set up where we kind of directly go to Phantom Galaxy podcast. But yeah, Phantom Galaxy podcast at Podbean or Phantom Galaxy at podbean.com. And you can find us there. You can find us on Facebook at Phantom Galaxy and on Twitter at Phantom Galaxy. So we're kind of all over the place, and we are trying to make our internet presence a little bit more known. You know, I think it's always kind of tricky because as you start to do those sorts of things, like the Facebook group and things like that, and you're like, what doors am I opening here? You know, the internet. I'm always a little gun shy with the internet and the social media stuff.
I'm trying to get Nathan to do a TikTok so he dances and promotes or something.
Yeah, that's not.
One of my friends at work, she has a TikTok, and she always gets like all these creepy things on there, you know, people showing like paranormal videos and paranormal stuff. And I said to her, I said, I don't understand. I said, I'm not getting any of that. And I look for that all the time. I said, all I'm getting is hot girls dancing. Not that I'm complaining about the hot girls dancing, but you know, sometimes I want to see some paranormal stuff too.
Just have the ghost walk up in the background while they're dancing. You know, maybe that's your key, Joe. That's what TikTok hasn't given us.
Can you type in search and say serial killer? Or paranormal,
just curious.
Yeah,
just curious. But like, if you type in, like, anybody who listens to any podcast I'm on knows that I love Tubi. Tubi is one of these things where I swear on the Bible, I will type in some random word, and I'll see what movies come up, and I can generally
hold on. Tubi, T-U-B-I.
If you go to Tubi TV,
it's Tubi TV.
T-U-B-I, and you type in literally any word, you'll get at least 6 movies.
There's a whole lot of Tubi on TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. So yesterday morning, I was looking for a movie to watch because now everybody who doesn't know, I'm a teacher. I've been teaching virtually for the last 2 weeks, but then before that for months at a time, depending upon. And so I have the time in the morning before I get off to teach to watch a movie. So the other morning, all I typed in Tubi was blood. But blood could be horror. Blood could be blood relatives. Blood could be medical. So I watched some movie called Blood Mania. Was it really that good? No, it's a 70s grindhouse film. But I had pages. So I'm wondering if in TikTok, if you type in scary, how many would come up? Or skeleton, how many would come up?
It's just like Instagram and the fact that it's like hashtags.
The more things you like, the more they're going to steer like videos to your to your page.
Okay, so it's kind of like YouTube, where if you click on a couple of the same on your feed, will similarly veined videos.
Yep. So going back to what you were saying about the movies and stuff, Bill, I'll tell you, man, I've never seen anybody watch as many movies as you watch, bro. You're always posting like, oh, I'm watching this movie, I'm watching that movie. I think you've probably watched more movies in a week than I've probably watched ever.
Let's put it this way. For For those that don't know, I'm also on one called Land of the Creeps with Greg Amortis and Dave Becker. Fantastic. Check us out. And this week we have to watch 12 movies for over about a week and a half span.
No, they have to watch 12 movies. You're done.
I watched them in 3 days. Because sometimes you can get into a zone where you watch them and, you know, unless it's a foreign film where you have to read the subtitles, you can watch, keep an eye around, and you know the main plot points. I mean, if it's a good one, you're watching the whole thing right in. But if you're watching some film where this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, you can watch them. I can watch a horror movie and the hockey game at the same time. Last night, I was watching a horror movie and the Jays game at the exact same time.
And talking to me, probably.
And talking to Nathan about his family situation or whatever, you know,
like that's how I gauge the days. Usually is like, okay, it's 2 p.m. and Bill's probably watched two giant bug films, or, you know, it's like, yeah, three giant bug films later, I know we're heading towards dinner time or something like that. Bill updates me.
Last year I watched 438 movies.
Oh my God.
Now there's an app on your phone, if anybody doesn't know, called Letterboxd, Letterboxd. And I use that to log how many. That's how I know. Because I used to have them on a spreadsheet on my laptop. And my gorgeous, lovely daughter was learning to walk, stepped on it, crashed the hard drive, and gone 5 years worth of movies. So now I track them on my phone and I keep up with it. So that's how I know. But like for the end of the year on Land of the Creeps, when we did our episode of Best Of, I watched 120 movies from 2020. Now, of quality, maybe 60 to 65. There might be 30 of them where you're not sure. And then there's some, you know, you watch for filler because somebody has seen it and you feel obligated. Or Tubi caught me again, and I watched.
That's like 3/4 of it, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. But I genuinely love the genre, and I'm known as I'll watch basically anything. Anything from fairy tales to torture porn and everything in between.
And if they make a combination of that, all the better.
All the better.
Yeah. It's a cinematic equivalent of the, look, Mikey likes it. Mikey will eat anything.
You know, like anything from G to X, I will watch. I've got a rule. If I've watched 20 minutes of it, I got to watch the whole thing.
Right.
I usually have to make that point at about 15 minutes. Is it worth my time?
Right.
So, yeah, I do. Like, I'm a cinephile in general. I love 80s comedies. I love sports films. I love courtroom dramas, that kind of thing. But horror's kind of always been my kind of, if I got nothing else, I'll watch a horror film.
It might be your accent, Bill, but I kind of swear to God that you had just said, horrors have always been my thing. And I was like, my man!
Yeah, it goes De Niro, Donald Sutherland, Peter North. Those are my top three. But now, yeah, I just love watching movies. Now, I love sports. Like, sports I would put as my number one ahead of horror movies because I've always loved it. But horror movies, and as we can link into you guys, I love my music, my heavy metal, my prog rock, my rock and roll, my classic rock. Yeah. I love all that stuff too.
Yeah, actually, Tom, me and Bill share a lot of the same Facebook groups as far as music goes as well. So it's pretty cool. He seems to like a lot of this.
In fact, when I was doing some walking before I came on with you guys, because I got to get some exercise when I can. And I, on my Spotify, the last song I listened to was Stay Hungry. Or sorry, The Price off of Stay Hungry.
Classic song. Yeah,
I love that. Is my favorite song by Twisted Sister.
Twisted Sister was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I knew you know that you knew the drummer.
Yeah, yeah, actually, I knew him when I was 17, 18 years old. I started playing guitar when I was 14, 15, and I started playing in bars and stuff around when I was 17, 18 years old. And he was the manager of a bar called The Caves, which, I mean, it was literally made within a real cave. I mean, how much cooler can you have for a rock bar than...
It's Long Island's equivalent of the cavern.
Staten Island.
Sorry. Staten Island's equivalent of the cavern.
That's you crossed the line there. Sorry.
Yeah, and he was the manager there. So I got to meet him and talk to him a lot and stuff. And he used to tell us some cool stories. Not really about the road, but about, when he was a kid, he used to tell us, oh, I remember when I was a kid, my father used to help me bring my drum set in to clubs and stuff like that. He was a very, very cool guy. Very sad what happened to him.
Yeah, because what's it been? Maybe 2-3 years?
A little more than that.
I think it's about 5.
That's what I thought. It was like about 5 years, yeah.
Well, and to try to link this all together, we're from the movie side of it. You guys are from the paranormal side of it. What would you guys consider your top 2 or 3 paranormal horror films that you've enjoyed the most?
Or just paranormal films, yeah.
Or paranormal film, yeah.
Paranormal films, let's see. I think for me, although, I mean, I've complained that the beginning is kind of slow moving. I know it has to tell a story, but The Exorcist, to me, is going to be one of the greatest. Honestly, I'm 40 years old, and I still can't watch that by myself at night. You know, it'll still scare the crap out of me to this day. I mean, it's a crazy... I mean, anything when you put horror in with religion, it's always scarier, like Stigmata, The Omen, anything like that.
I always like The Rite. It's a good one. Okay, yeah, Rite. It's a good film.
Yeah.
But so, Tommy, what would your number one paranormal horror film be?
The one, honestly, that, and you're all going to laugh at me, that scared the shit
Casper.
Out of me.
Rocky Horror.
Was Blair Witch. Scared the hell out of me. Just because the found footage, the what if. We've discussed this on the podcast before. It just makes you think, like, what the backstory is. What happened at the end. Another favorite of mine, you guys might not have even heard of it, Midnight Meat Train.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie, man.
Yeah.
I mean, when he typed Meat Train into Tubi, it just came right up.
Right? Was it Tubi or Red Tube? I'm not sure which one.
It was like, wait, this is the meat train I was looking for, but it's the meat train I deserve. Yeah. to go back to Blair Witch for a minute, back off the meat train. Tommy, yeah. Did you see that movie in the theater?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, funny story. I was crashing at my parents' house at the time. I was a rookie cop when it had come out. And I crashed on my parents' couch for whatever reason that night. I had just come home from the theater, crashed on the couch, and got so scared in the middle of the night. My father calms down. He sees me sleeping with my gun like this. And he's knocking on the wall. He doesn't want to come into the room. He's like, Tom, wake up, Tom.
Yeah, but that doesn't, that's because of the 4 mushrooms you had before the movie.
I live in Maryland, and I lived in Maryland at the time that the film came out too. And I remember going to see it. And of course, it was a bigger deal down here because Burkittsville, which is nearby where the film, where the movie was filmed, for us, it was about, an hour and a half away from where we lived, but still it created kind of a zeitgeist down here that I live here in Maryland. So it's like, it was a big deal. And we even knew people like that were in the film and trying to like monopolize off of it, but like the background hillbillies, you know? So like The guys that were fly fishing and they come up and are like, we don't believe in no witch. That guy has opened like a fried fish stand and is like, brought you, you know, Hush Puppies brought to you by the guy that was in the background in the Blair Witch Project. But no, there was that kind of backlash after that film came out. And, you know, The Sixth Sense followed up a few weeks later where they were sort of like, oh, it's not that scary. No, that was a legitimately kind of singular experience that I don't think any of these other Paranormal Activity movies or anything like has ever replicated because of the feeling, Tommy, what you're saying is it had that feeling of a campfire story that when you're a kid and you hear that campfire story, you're like, that's not real, right? Right? It's not my daughter always says, you're making that up, right? And she asked me 3 times. And it's that kind of feel. You walk out, you know, it's you have in your gut the feeling that it's fake. And you also have in your gut knowing that if I went to those woods, the witch would murder me.
But speaking of Paranormal Activity, I actually, that was the one found footage that I really liked. I didn't get to see Blair Witch in the movies. I don't know. For some reason, I didn't see that one in the theaters. I saw that a couple of years after it was out. But Paranormal Activity, I really like that one, especially because I think the girl that's in it is pretty hot. So that was pretty, but
you kept hoping the ghost would fly up her top.
That's right. But no, I like the found footage movies are obviously always going to be probably pretty scary too, because you never know. I mean, obviously they're not real, but they definitely damn look real to me. Most of the stuff. There's actually a movie that came out. It was never in the movies. And I think it was only like an hour long. I think I might have even said it on the Land of the Creeps on the live stream one time with you, Bill, which is the McPherson tapes.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. It's about aliens or something, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, the found footage thing, it actually came out before the Blair Witch, a few years before.
We should have you guys on and do some review some found footage. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be cool.
If you guys want to come on, yeah. Because I need to see that one, too. I think they reviewed it on Horror Movie Podcast, and it sounded really interesting.
It's about an hour long, and it's...
Was it pre-Blair Witch, or it was in that time frame? It's not. It's before a lot of the others, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I believe it was pre-Blair Witch, because I think Blair Witch came out in 98, 99?
No, 99, but made in, like, 98. And there was another movie, The Last Broadcast, about the Jersey... You know, took place in the Pine Barrens that was around a similar time. I think Last Broadcast is out a little bit. But from what I understand, the McPherson tapes is even earlier than those two.
Yeah.
We could have you guys on. We do like a top five each found footage films. Your favorite found footages. Because that opens up a whole can of worms of all kinds.
Or we could all just go spend the night in a haunted like facility somewhere and see who gets killed first.
Oh, wow.
I have to wait till the border opens.
And right. There you go. He'll show up at the last minute just to... Right. After
we'll
we've
all pick different all haunted places. Bill will be at the haunted yogurt stand.
Teen stand. But my favorite all-time paranormal film is The Changeling.
Yeah.
I really like The Changeling.
1980, 81, something like that.
I was going to say 79, 80, 81 in that time frame. But I also like, was it 61, 62, House on Haunted Hill?
They remade that, right?
Yeah, they remade it probably a couple times.
The Haunting of Hill House, obviously a different movie that was The Haunting, and it was remade in 1999. It came out right down to Blair Witch. And then the House on Haunted Hill was remade that same year. I think they subbed out Vincent Price for Jeffrey Rush, I believe, right?
Yeah. And the other one that was more schlocky but is a lot of fun is 13 Ghosts.
Love it. I was just going to say 13 Ghosts.
The old one or the new one, Bill?
The Vincent Price. I've seen the new one, but I remember enjoying the old one. Schlocky, yes, but fun, yes.
And Vincent Price was on House on Haunted Hill. I don't think in 13 Ghosts. Yeah. But the 13 Ghosts remake is actually kind of fun, too. Like, there's some interesting, like, the designs of the ghosts are really cool in that movie, in the remake, the 2001 movie.
I agree. Yeah, that movie was pretty cool.
And the one I saw in the theater that I enjoyed seeing was Sinister.
Sinister.
I saw that in the theater. Ethan Hawke. That was a good one. It's pretty big. They made two. How many, Nathan? Two, three?
They made two of them. That was an interesting. They did a screening. It's funny. When the second movie came out, I was when I was a critic at the time, you knew something was wrong when the studio said, here in Baltimore, they actually did something cool. They went to the catacombs near where Edgar Allan Poe is buried, and they took us through a tour of the catacombs, and then they showed the film down in the catacombs. But they didn't show us Sinister 2. They showed us Sinister 1 as a promotion for Sinister 2. And that's when I thought to myself, I bet you Sinister 2 is not that good.
But if you haven't seen it, Tommy, all I'm going to say is there's a scene with a lawnmower.
I have it in my Blu-ray collection. I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's a good...
I'm pretty hardened. I mean, I can watch somebody get sliced in half and then go fix the furnace. It's no big deal. But the scene with the lawnmower still kind of... I can recall it pretty vividly from, I don't know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, whenever it came out.
For me, though, as far as horror movies go, I think the best horror movie to come out in a very, very, very long time is The Conjuring. I think The Conjuring is one of the scariest... like truly scary horror movies to ever come out.
See, I saw the first one in the theater. I enjoyed it. I thought Lin Shaye and that did a good job. Or not Lin Shaye. Who's the couple that was in it? I can't recall the actors.
Yeah, Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson playing the Warrens.
Vera Farmiga. But I thought number two was a bit ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The second one was a little ridiculous.
But number one, number one, creepy. I wouldn't say much more scary. I'd say more creepy.
Right.
My favorite creepy movie of late. It's only a couple of years old. Brightburn. I mean, you got creepy, you got the sci-fi aspect, a little bit of a horror aspect.
If anybody ever asks me what my favorite superhero film is, like, I'm not a Marvel guy. I say Brightburn. Because essentially it is.
That scene when he flips the truck up.
And it's still bouncing. Yeah.
My favorite is probably still The Innocents from 1961. It with Deborah Carr, the remake of the... or not a remake, but an adaptation of The Turn of the Screw. And of course, they made that in a pretty bad movie last year called The Turning. And then I know the Haunting of Hill House series did The Haunting of Bly Manor, which also would kind of take. But I don't know if you guys have ever seen The Innocents, but it was directed by Jack Clayton, who then later in the 80s did a really cool Disney movie called Something Wicked This Way Comes that I'm kind of a big fan of. And so The Innocents is really cool because they do a whole lot with very little in terms of the ghost. Like, it's all like what you see across a river or a face in the glass of the window, the frosted window, all those kind of things that are more subtle supernatural elements that you don't see a lot of, you know, because everything has to be kind of amped up now. So I always appreciate it when they kind of present the haunting the way that hauntings are sort of usually presented when people talk about them, right? There's that face at the window or that figure in the shadows, that thing I glimpsed out of the corner of my eye. I kind of really enjoy that sort of thing. Did you guys ever see Ty West, The Innkeepers from sometime back in 2011? About it's the last weekend or so. I think you guys are really, it's not fast paced, but the ambiance is really cool. It's basically a couple of, they're working the lobby at a kind of, it's called the Yankee Peddler. And it's like one of these haunted hotels that's about to shut down in a little town somewhere. And I think it might be in New England, and it's about to shut down. It's like the last weekend. And the two of them sort of fancy themselves that they're going to be kind of ghost hunters and look into this. And there's a psychic who's also staying there in the hotel. And so they're trying to connect with the ghosts. And it's kind of an interesting take. It's very different. And it's slow paced. Ty West also did a movie called The House of the Devil, which was also a slow paced kind of slow burn horror movie, but definitely worth seeing. Did you like it, Bill?
The Innkeepers. Yeah. These two quirky early 20s, you know, staying in this hotel, and it's kind of, one's kind of training the other, or one's more relatively new than the other, and it's them surviving.
That's the one, if I'm not mistaken, has Kelly McGinnis.
It is. That's it. Kelly McGillis is in the movie. She's the psychic in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. From Top Gun. And she doesn't look like Kelly McGinnis anymore, but
no.
She looks like the young lady that ate Kelly McGinnis.
Her body has been altered, you should put it that way. But the other one that's been out the last couple of years that your audience may appreciate, that's got some paranormal, supernatural, but also a lot of other elements, is called Terrified. It's a Argentinian film also called Alterados. And it came out in about, I'm going to say, Nathan, what, 2017?
Yeah.
2018?
That's the grab bag of paranormal. They were like, you know what, why give you one thing? Well, we'll just dump it all in here. The whole neighborhood is haunted or possessed or alien inhabited. Who knows?
It's a whole street in Buenos Aires, and they're all link homes. So if the ghost attaches itself to one house, it links itself across 8 houses. But it's got ghost paranormal. It's got creature feature elements. It's got zombie elements. It's got crime police serial elements to it. It's a complete grab bag. There's some gore, but it is freaky and cool. It was my number two movie of the year in 2018.
You just brought it up, and I can't believe I didn't say it. My favorite horror movie of all time, supernatural, paranormal, quote unquote, Dawn of the Dead. I saw it in theaters in 78. Yeah. I saw the original. And
okay, you were talking the original, not the remake, because that's a good one.
Yeah, too. But scared the hell out of an 8-year-old kid and a lifelong love of zombies and everything with them.
That's such a good movie.
I had that debate when I was walking. Are zombies considered a supernatural film or not?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
Would you? Okay. Like, they're risen from the dead, yes, but is that more of just like of a gory kind of thing as opposed to like a ghost story?
Different variations of,
yeah.
And this is what I was going to bring up actually also too, is you guys being movie guys, I never considered the Saw movies a horror movie. I just felt like they were just grotesque gore films. I never really considered the Saw franchise. I never considered that a horror franchise at all.
I find it's all just kind of under an umbrella, and it's various colors of the rainbow.
But, you know, that's an interesting point, Joe, because I'm not a big fan of the Saw movies either. And I agree with what you say. But the interesting thing about that very first Saw movie is when it was released, or when I was hearing about it come through the like festivals and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, this sounds like an interesting sort of like mystery thriller. And then they decided to start marketing with that sawed off foot and everything like that. But I honestly think you watch that first movie, there's not a lot of on-screen gore. and you're watching, you're like, this isn't, you know, it felt like it was filmed not as a horror movie, but then marketed as a horror film. And of course it became a horror franchise, but it became more like a geek show, right? It's like, what can we show you next? I never felt the things I look for in a horror film weren't really there, me personally.
And I mean, the fact that it had Danny Glover meant that there was a cop element to it, right? You really get scared by Danny Glover.
Well, that first movie has very few, like it has a couple of creepy moments, but it does feel like it's spawning off of Seven more than it is like a horror slasher film or something like that.
Yeah, huge Seven influences.
I was listening to you guys about a month and a half ago, and I was getting ready for work one morning. Oh no, I chose to listen.
It was after three Tubi movies, so you know you were there. Where were you on the wrong there, right?
I was actually at work, so I had to find one that was quote unquote safe, right? I loved the story that Joseph brought up about Trump being a time traveler.
Ah, you like that?
I was fascinated by that because Nathan knows that we like our trippy movies, but we also love our time travel movies.
Oh, absolutely.
And I loved because you had like six or seven different, didn't this happen? And then happened. And then the book tied in and then his dad had hired this person. I'm like, holy crap. Like, I love that. And I love the time travel element.
It makes you think, man.
I like how you said it's not political. This just happens to be.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know which way you guys wave your flag, but regardless, it was fascinating. I was like, if I had the time to sit and do all that, like I want to read this book, but I think you said it's like a series of books or something.
It's two books. Yeah. It was actually just two books, and they're from the 1890s, I believe. But yeah, no, I mean, I had actually seen somebody talk about it on TikTok and I'm like, let me look into this. Cause this might be pretty cool to bring up on the show. Of course, this is a paranormal podcast. Have you guys had any paranormal experiences?
I'll let Nathan open up with that.
I've had a couple of experiences, but I tend to be the person, like I want to believe, but I'm not sure I do believe kind of thing. Like it's almost more fun. I think most of what I've probably experienced would be closer to the sort of thing that happens when you kind of experience that sort of you're half asleep, half awake, the kind of sleep paralysis sort of scenario that people find themselves in. I think that probably most of my scenarios can be chalked up to that. Doesn't mean they weren't creepy. The specific one that freaked me out for a long time. There's been a couple of circumstances that happened in this house where we went, my wife and I, it was before we had kids, and we kind of ended up just like falling asleep middle of the day. We were sitting there reading or something. We both kind of fell asleep on the bed and sitting there. And then like, remember distinctly waking up and being aware and looking around and then kind of hearing what sounded honestly like voices coming from and we've only lived in the house at this point for maybe about a couple of months, coming kind of from like behind the wall and just a whispering, but a very specific conversation happening where you're like, am I hearing the people that live on the other side of me? Because it is a townhouse. So you're sort of like, what's going on over there? But then realizing that the voices are kind of getting closer and they're saying some very strange things. And it's like the voices of children. And then it's kind of like, well, I don't know what to do. Well, maybe what we should do is just get rid of them. And well, no, stop talking. They can hear us. It's sort of like at this point, you're trying to wake up and I'm realizing I'm actually already awake and I'm trying desperately to get my wife to wake up. And I can't. It's a thing where I'm realizing I'm struggling. I feel like I'm reaching over, but am I really reaching? And I finally kind of get her woken up and she doesn't, obviously she didn't hear it. And I do believe that it was probably just sort of that world. Watch a lot of movies. You're sort of waking up. But then over the years, like I remember specifically my wife saying, and it tied in around the time that we lost tragically a circumstance where we lost a friend who was very young. We were in our 20s. He was in his, and it was a tragic situation. It was very sudden. And the situation was just a bad situation. And like within the week or so around that time happening, I remember specifically my wife saying that, you know, there was a point when she in the same room where we were just talking about that, she ended up opening up like the closet or something and seeing a kind of figure there that when it turned around, she felt for all the world, it was this guy and he was the friend and he was suffering and in pain and just looked tortured and turned around and then sort of just vanished. And my wife is not someone who's prone to like never. The way she said it was like, I felt it was in my mind's eye or again, a dream. But she kind of insists that it was like she was sort of awake. The only other one that was really creepy, and again, might be chalked up to this. I'm like, eight things happened, but I'm still pretty sure it was all coincidence. We were down in the basement here. this was only a couple of years ago. We were at that point. We have two kids and they're right now they're 6 and 9, but a couple of years ago, they reached this point where it was just like every night they're getting up and they're coming into our bed. And then the child is draped over you like some kind of Jenga tower. And there's a foot near your head and there's an arm over here where the arm shouldn't be. And you're getting grabbed and groped. It's not a good experience though. So you're like, finally, you're just like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave. And I'm going to extricate myself from this human puzzle and go somewhere else. And so a lot of times I would come downstairs and just sit and lay on the couch and go to sleep because I knew I wasn't going to get kicked. And then finally it was like, nope, time to reclaim the bed. But there was one specific instance downstairs. And I think it was probably a case where I was either working on a project or maybe had done a podcast or something. And I fell asleep on the couch. And a lot of times what would happen is when my kids realize I'm not in that bed, they're going to go find me wherever I am. And so a lot of times I'd have my young son, he'd come down the stairs and he would be there. And I'm asleep, but I've just woken up because I tell that the light has popped on and freaks me out. And it happened several times. He's just standing there. He's like right there, just the shadow, the silhouette. And this particular time, his silhouette is right there. And I'm like, come on, buddy, just come on in and just lay down. I'm too tired to go upstairs. You can lay down here with me and that's fine. He's like, so he comes over and he nestles up next to me and I put my arms around him. And the only thing I feel is wet, cold, clammy moisture. And I'm like, what is wrong? And when I go to squeeze him to see how cold he is, the whole thing collapses in my arms. Like as if you were holding like a rubber doll or something. And I just feels like it falls apart. And then boom, I'm awake, or I think I'm awake. And then guess what? Here comes my kid around the corner. The real kid comes and nestles in. And so I don't know if my mind's broken or what, but those are some stories. Those are about it. I was driving once late at night and I was falling asleep. And I remember looking over and just seeing what I thought was something sitting in the seat next to me. Again, this feeling of like real weird panic came over me. And I remember pulling off to the side of the road and then getting out. And I live up in Maryland, kind of near where Cecil County, and they have a legend of like the Pig Woman Bridge or something. And wherever I parked my car, about less than a half a mile up the road was the bridge. So that was a little spooky.
And then Nathan rolled over and there was 6 cans of Old Milwaukee right beside him.
Right. Oh, mystery solved. Old Milwaukee.
How about you, Bill? You got anything?
I'm not one that's ever experienced any kind of ghost per se.
Now, paranormal doesn't have to be ghost, though.
No, I know. It can be anything extra. Yeah. Sure. And so, like, my wife's sisters felt like her grandmother at the edge of her bed after she'd passed. She knows it was her. And right. See, I've never had anything like that. But when I was in high school, I had a brother who died. He was born with certain diseases and he passed on. And from that point on, I've always felt there's someone just kind of hovering over my shoulder, just always kind of looking over me. And I've had a few incidents in my past that could have gone one way that didn't. And things like when you're driving and if you make that sudden turn one way, it could have gone pretty tragic.
Right.
And I didn't. Right. Or I had one incident, I'm not proud of this, but in my early 20s when I'd had way too much to drink and I'd had a joint and I was driving, but I was aware enough to know that there was flash showing going behind me. There was a foot of snow. It was mid-February. And I knew enough to pull over. And I was like, fuck. It was an ambulance. And I pulled into the Burger King parking lot, got myself a couple Whoppers, got myself enough to get myself home. And I felt that's my brother's hand on my shoulder saying, Bill, straighten yourself up and get yourself home.
Right.
But there are certain, you take certain career paths where you could have gone to one school or you could have taken in one opportunity. And there's always, I always feel on my shoulders, somebody kind of steering me. It's not always that way, but
right.
Steering you the way that it's very serendipitous that it happened the way that it did. And so I kind of have this overarching of my brother and my background kind of, well, you shouldn't do it that way. It should be, and 9 times out of 10, I make the right call. I mean, it could be pure happenstance, but mine's more of a presence than there is of a, like, I've never seen flashing lights in front of me as a ghost or like, not that I'd be against that. I've never seen any kind of aliens or like that kind of thing, but I'm not against it. I just haven't come across it.
Right. Let me ask you guys this question now, because this has actually been coming up on a lot of the Facebook groups that I've been seeing. And actually, when I did this VR paranormal show a couple of days ago, somebody had asked me this as well. Do you guys think that the paranormal, as far as ghosts, do you think that there's somehow a connection between ghosts and aliens? People have been asking me that question lately, and I've never actually heard of that before. Like, the only thing I say is that they're under the umbrella of paranormal. I don't really think one has anything to do with the other.
I've never thought there was any connection other than they're unknown and you need to know more about it. I've never thought of any correlation with that. I don't know about you, Nathan, if you ever have.
No, I don't think a specific correlation, sir. I mean, again, I listened to enough Art Bell that I'm pretty sure somewhere in there was probably some conspiracy theory that linked them very directly. But I wonder if it isn't maybe just that element of, lots of times we talk about the fact that even when you talk about the time travel circumstances, and of course, Arthur C. Clarke having kind of the quote that says, you know, any advanced civilization looks like magic. Does it get to a point where, because we maybe these encounters with aliens or with ghosts could maybe go either way, in the sense that we see a ghost, we see that we have this paranormal experience, and maybe it's maybe the thought process, if you're trying to look at it from a science perspective, is that if all of this is related to energy or is related to something that can be real, right? It's ultimately, we say supernatural or paranormal phenomena, but eventually it has to have some kind of basis in the way the world works, right? And so I wonder if the link there isn't some attempt to say, well, are these encounters where if I see what I think is there's a strange floating shape in front of me, and I maybe want to believe that it's the ghost of someone who died 150 years ago, or it's a passed on relative. In reality, is it maybe a holographic image or a extraterrestrial presence? I wonder if it's just because there's a certain vagueness or a certain uncertainty about the experiences that there's this idea that could it go either way, that what I interpret to be a ghost is an alien or vice versa, or some other kind of phenomena. Some of my favorite sci-fi stories or paranormal stories involve this concept of, oh, we thought it was a ghost, but it was really the merging of the other dimension or something like that. Right. You know, that what I'm seeing are images from a world that I can't actually touch. So I think that kind of stuff is interesting. I think it was your podcast or your Facebook page that put up the page. Why does everyone see ghosts from the 1700s? Isn't there someone that was great. I passed that one on instantly. I was like, hey guys, check this out. I laughed quite a bit about that. I always want to see like a new show, like the Ghost Twitterer, right? Where the ghosts are just hanging out on Twitter or on, you know, Instagram, you know, like, haha, I died last week, LOL, that kind of stuff. But
unless you're Tommy Lee, you don't say such things.
But yeah, I mean, I've seen the correlation with that, people talking about that. And actually, on another end of paranormal, I've also seen people say now that there's this new theory that Bigfoot is an alien. And I'm like,
yes, Bigfoot's always been an alien since the $6 billion man or whatever, right? When he was a cyborg alien robot or whatever.
I mean, all right.
This is where Tubi kicks in, because I'm sure I can find a connective movie.
I mean, now everybody's like merging all these things together. Like, why can't they just be separate? Why do you have to merge?
It's all got to be connected. It's, yeah.
The only connection I can find, as Nathan had said, is maybe something to do with energy.
Right.
Like if there's an energy force that's creating, you know, something in the ionosphere or something, the atmosphere, that's making people see something. Maybe some people see a flash of light across the sky that they think is otherworldly. Other people interpret that as a ghostly figure. Someone else just calls it, it's in the unknown. So it all kind of gets lumped in.
Yeah.
If there was some kind of phenomenon.
It becomes a time life book.
Yeah. But, you know, or you've watched a few Lucio Fulci films and they all just kind of blend together.
But I like a point that Joe, you're making there. Not that I like it, but I think you're making a valid point, which is that like this idea, and it even happens too with the movies and books, it's like everything has to be connected. Everything, it's like it's shrinking the world, it's shrinking the mystery to want to see all of this stuff connect. If Bigfoot, if aliens, if the lost city of Atlantis and all this stuff is real, I don't want it to be connected. I want all of that stuff to be its own weird, miraculous thing.
Why can't there be Atlantis and the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah,
and the Sasquatch.
I don't need the skunk ape and the chupacabra to be cousins. I'm good with it just being its own thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you guys have coming up on the next few shows with the Phantom Galaxy?
I know that we have Strange Frequencies coming up where we do music with a movie. But Nathan, you probably have the lineup better than I do.
Yeah, we've got that. We've got a the VOD roulette, which we do, which I think might be fun to have you guys on do, where we basically all just pick them. Bill wanted to be solely Tubi roulette, but again, I don't know what kind of weird arcane media deal he has set up there. So we would, everyone kind of picks a movie and then come together and watch it and see what we think of each one. So, you know,
we'll have an open invitation for you too. What you do is you find a streaming service. You pick a random movie you have not seen that none of us have seen, or we try, maybe we saw it when we were 10 or something. Yeah. And then we review them together as kind of a spontaneous long review.
Sometimes we do have a theme. So it may be fun to do, hey, go find a found footage movie and come back.
Or a ghost movie or whatever. Yeah.
So we'd love to do that. So maybe that's what we have coming up. We also have, we've been going through the, Bill's not a part of this, but a group of guys have been going through the X-Files. So we've done X-Files season one. We did X-Files season two. That's a 4-hour episode I'm still editing. It's a lot of fun to go back and talk about that show and kind of rewatch it. And just a lot of fun memories there. Something I really, we're looking to kind of put back together and that I thought that I really enjoy. We were talking earlier about editing and how it can be a bear, but also, you know, is the creativity element coming into it, is that back around Halloween, I did something where we had gotten several different people to actually read spooky stories that were in the public domain, stories, some of them by H.P. Lovecraft and stories like that, and then added sound effects and elements and stuff. Laid a lot of work, but it turned out really cool. And we did that again at Christmas time where we did ghost stories for Christmas. So looking to do that again and maybe do something for a campfire thing. And I don't know if you guys ever be interested in doing some of that, but maybe we can work. It would be fun because it's kind of neat. It's a very different thing, a kind of a narrative horror fiction, but I like a lot of that stuff as well. Some of the podcasts.
You guys have faces for radio like we do. So you have to use your voice.
Listen, I was going to say, I mean, I was wearing my glasses before, so I kind of felt all right that all of us are wearing glasses, but then I still felt left out because I don't have the full beard like the three.
That's the great thing at work, wearing a mask. So I'm wearing the full face mask. They can't say nothing about me not shaving.
It keeps me warmer, but it doesn't help my love life.
Well, I think if you put Tommy, me, and then Bill, you have the slow progression of man into werewolf.
We have a lot coming up, and on Land of the Creeps, who knows, every other week, that's between a 4 to a 6 hour episode.
Again, thank you guys so much, Bill and Nathan from System Galaxy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, thank you guys. And everybody listen to Ghost Hacks podcast whenever possible.
It's a good one. Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Ghost Hacks podcast. And thank you very much to Bill and Nathan from the Phantom Galaxy podcast for coming on our show. And please don't forget to check out the show notes so you could find Phantom Galaxy and all of their links that we will be providing, as well as please check out Land of the Creeps as well. That's another great podcast that I know you guys will enjoy. We enjoy it as well. Also, if you guys have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please give us a call on our hotline at 845-379-1331. Leave us a voicemail. You could do so anonymously if you want. If you don't want to leave us a voicemail, but you want to tell us your experience, you could email me as well at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out www.ghosthackspodcast.com. You'll find all of our episodes, as well as information on all of our guests, a blog, as well as a merch store where all of the proceeds go towards the First Responders Children's Foundation. We do not receive a dime. So have a good night, everybody, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com, and we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.